Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
So on the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter, we remember that the disciples went north to Galilee. They went north because Jesus told them to, and it was a very long journey, about 300 kilometers. It took a whole week to walk there. And many of the disciples were fishermen, and so they found themselves at the Sea of Galilee because they knew they could rest there. It was a place they had known as boys. It was a place where their fathers had taught them to fish. And they stayed for a while. And on one of those days, Simon Peter jumped up and said, "I want to go fishing." And so the others went with him, and they prepared the boat, and they set sail on the lake, and the wind lifted the sail, and they fished all night long. But they caught nothing. But the sounds of the sea and the smell of the sea comforted them anyway. They were home. In the morning, the sky turned pink and then blue. And they could see on the shore that there was someone there. And they could see the smoke from a fire and the red of the charcoal. And then they heard, "Have you caught anything?" And they had to answer, "No." The stranger said, "Throw your nets on the other side." And they said, "What do we have to lose?" So they did. And they could feel the fish moving into the nets. But John wasn't paying any attention to the fish. He was looking at the stranger on the beach. And he said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And Peter stood up, and he jumped out of the boat, and he swam until his feet felt the stones of the beach, and he was on the shore. The rest of them turned their boat toward the shore, but they couldn't pull their nets in because there were so many fish that they just had to drag them behind. When they got to the beach, the stranger said, "Bring some fish." And as they got closer to the fire, the stranger was not a stranger to them. It was Jesus, but they were afraid to say anything. He said, "Have some breakfast." And they ate together fish and bread. And the fish and the bread tasted like home. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, of course." "Then feed my lambs." Then he said, "Again, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And Jesus answered, "Tend my sheep." And one more time, Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, of course." "Then feed my sheep." And then he was gone. I wonder, friends, what part of that story you liked the best. I wonder what part of that story you think is most important. So important that generations later, Christians are listening to those words about how to be in community. I wonder this morning what part of this story is about you. Tend my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. I love that this story has the number 3 showing up a lot in it, because there are actually 3 stories within this story, and they remind us of 3 other stories of Scripture. In fact, right at the beginning, it takes us back to Easter, where there is sadness and confusion after the tomb was found empty, where the angels say, "He is not here. He's gone on ahead to Galilee. Go and meet him there." It's like Jesus knew that when they were most sad and lost, they needed to go home. When we are sad, when we aren't sure what to do next, when we feel like we've died and we want to come back to life, we go to the things we love, to the places we knew, perhaps as children or as grown-ups, to water, to nature, to the sea. I wonder where that is for you. For some of the disciples, home is where it all began. When Jesus met them and called them, they remembered what happened on that lakeshore. For Jesus came to the lakeshore looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. Jesus asked them to follow humbly. Jesus searched their hearts and, while smiling, spoke their names. And now their boats are left on that shoreline behind them. And by his side, they sought other seas. So it makes sense to me that when all seems lost, they go back to where it all began, remembering who they were, piecing back together who they are now, remembering where they were called from and what work and skills they had to do, connecting to their invitation to follow Jesus. Sometimes when it feels like we are lost, we have to go to a place that feels like home in order to be found. Now, it could be a place. It could also be an activity. For some of you, it might be fishing, or you could fill in the blank. Something that feels safe, secure, comfortable. After Jesus died, for Peter and the other disciples, they went fishing. They headed out in the boat. That boat for them that would have been familiar and safe and secure and comfortable. They knew what to do in that boat, each of them having roles and knowing what to look for. But this part of the story takes us to the second remembering. When the disciples go out onto that water, they remember, I am certain, the time where after Jesus fed the 5,000, Jesus stays on the shore to pray, and they headed out to the other side of the lake. They fall asleep in the night, and a storm picks up. They look for Jesus in the storm. He's walking on the water towards them. And he speaks to them words, "Take courage, do not be afraid." Peter responds back into the storm, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out onto the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter does stand and step out of the boat. But it says that his fear and doubt take over, and he started to sink. They get back into the boat together. Peace finds them, and the water's still. Have you ever had that moment where you knew you were called to something and you stepped out of the boat, but it didn't seem quite like you were ready and you had to get back in for a while? In the words of Presbyterian minister John Ortberg, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. So I wonder this morning, what is your boat? And if you're not sure where you feel safest and most comfortable, secure, maybe most strong, maybe the place where you feel like you can lead as the captain of your own ship, if you're not sure what that boat is, fear will tell you what your boat is. Ask yourself this: what ending produces the most fear in me? What would I have to leave behind and step out in faith that I'm most afraid of doing? Is it work? Is it vocation? Is it relationship? Is it a certain person that feels most comfortable? Is it your identity, the things you mark as success? Perhaps the most comfortable things are the things that no one knows about. The things that you come home to at the end of the day. I wonder what your boat is. For leaving it may be the hardest thing you ever do. And if the fear question doesn't feel like the right one, I wonder about the question of, in what area of your life are you struggling to trust God? Because the act of trusting God means that you are listening and taking a step outside of the boat you know, trusting that God will be there. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And something inside us as humans tells us there's more to life than sitting in that boat. Even though the boat might be safe and comfortable and full of people you love, there's something that we're wired for that calls us beyond that. For you were created for more than avoiding failure or pain or staying safe. Like the seed that goes into the ground was not created to stay in the ground, but to break forth into new life. John Ortberg says, another image for the boat might be your lazy boy chair, the comfortable chair that you find at the end of the day. He says, God didn't create the lazy boy chair, or it might have been called the risky boy chair or the worker boy chair. Or maybe it's one of those chairs that lifts you up so you can stand and sends you out into the taking the next step. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. And in order to have the courage to do that, you have to listen or be looking for the Christ who is calling you. Because if you're not looking for the stranger or the one who meets you, you might just miss it. These stories leave us clues, for the ones who are calling us in his name will use language of don't be afraid, take heart, have courage, peace be with you. He is calling us to something more, each of us. And that something more is always connected to greater love. And in story after story, we notice that every time people resist that voice, every time people choose to stay in the boat rather than heed its call, that voice can get a little quieter in us. Until at times, it can seem that you don't hear its call at all. Today, the disciples respond to the call, throw your nets on the other side. And John notices that Jesus is there because John's looking for him. And he tells Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter stands up this time and he jumps out of the boat and immediately he comes to the shore. Peter knows what it's like for fear to hold him back. Peter remembers denying Jesus 3 times after his arrest, but today he doesn't have to think twice. He is not afraid, for Christ's peace is with him. And he gets out of that boat for love. Don't we all? Think of the times you've had to change your mind or do it another way. Think of the times that we have had to risk for love, when we've given generously for love, when we've left home for love, when we try new things for love, when we move cities or towns or neighborhoods for love. We keep on looking and living for that love. And it's worth getting out of the boat for, because that love will feed us. Fish and bread that taste like home, muffins and coffee that taste like home, peanut butter sandwiches that taste like home, samosa and naan that taste like home, tabbouleh and pita that taste like home, vegetables and injera that taste like home. When we step out of the boat, do we trust that God will feed us? That God will welcome us by name, calling to us. And then that same Christ, who we know embodies God's love, will ask something of us. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. The invitation for us is to be listening and looking. The ask is for us to step out of the boat and to trust that God will be there. The curiosity is, how will you feed the lambs, tend the sheep? Some of you have jumped out of the boat a long time ago or forgot you did and are being reminded. Others of you jumped out of the boat, broke a hip, and so the invitation is different when your body shifts and changes. We continue to ask this every stage of our life because that voice is calling us daily. And so if you're not sure what to do next, I invite you into a prayer. It's very simple. It's a breath in and a breath out with these words. God, you so love the world. Teach me how to love the world too. God, you so love the world. Teach me how to love the world too. Can you say that with me now? God, you so love the world. Teach me how to love the world too. If the disciples can walk 300 kilometers because Jesus asked them to meet him in Galilee, then we can spend some time listening for that voice, preparing ourselves to jump out of the boat when we have to, and to know that God will be there. Let's keep praying together.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.